Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
What's up, everyone? Freddy the Pizza Man here, host of the Pizza Man podcast. Now joining forces with ChristopherMedia.net. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, the Pizza Man podcast. And, of course, find all the podcasts on ChristopherMedia.net. We talk Detroit sports. I bring on guests, passions, opinions, all for Detroit sports and more. We even talk pizza. So thanks for tuning in and spread the word.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
All right, Beer Nuts number 98. Oh, we're getting close to that century mark. My name is Chris.
Greg here.
Doug?
There we go.
Uncle Pete's here. Let's drink some beers.
Amen. And JR here in the house.
We'll get a handle on this new intro thing one day yet, I tell you. Maybe it's, we need to take a cue from last week and just drink some beer and things start to go right. This week, we are, JR, what are we? It's craft pilsners and lagers?
Yep, lagers and pilsners.
There we go. More than just, you know, regular yellow beer, as we're going to find out this week. I guess, before we get started with anything, I believe, JR, you have this week's quote.
I do have the quote, and in keeping with our lager theme tonight, we've 98 episodes. We haven't even done a single lager, I don't believe. So it's a style that's really coming back and perfect for this time of year. So I got a little ditty here for a quote of the week, and it goes like this. Our lager, which art in barrels, hallowed be thy drink. The kegdom come, I fill thee mug, at home as in the tavern. Give us this day our foamy head, and forgive us our spillages, as we forgive those who spill upon us. And lead us not into inebriation, but deliver us from hangovers. Barman.
Barman.
Barman. Barman.
Barman.
I bowed my head and folded my hands for that, John.
All right. Well, just wanted to invite all our listeners to crack open a cold one. No matter what your favorite kind of beer is, hopefully you have a lager or a pilsner. But if not, anything that you like is fine with us. Just want you to enjoy a good beer and kick back. And as we're going to enjoy a few beers, and I think Christopher is going to start off this week's episode. So tell us about your beer, Chris.
Actually, I'm going to defer to Uncle Pete. He's doing two. He is going to start the show off.
Ah, that's right. Well, we missed Pete last week, so he's got to make up. So
yeah, he's got to make up beer.
All right, I get to do two. Okay, well, we got nice craft lagers and pilsners on this episode. And I also like to categorize them into what I call crushers. And we've had a number of crushers on past episodes, and I consider those to be beers that are lighter in nature but still have a lot of flavor. And not only light in the mouthfeel and light in color, but also light on the alcohol. A lot of these beers we're going to have tonight will probably fall between the 4.5% and 5.5%, 6% range. But looking for something that's very refreshing and very full-flavored. So my first example here tonight is Founders PC Pils. It's an American-hopped pilsner. And in this case, I guess they decided to take a classic European Pilsner-style beer, and instead of the noble hops that are generally used in the European lagers, they decided to fill it with a chockload of American hops with some real piney Chinook and Centennial and Cascade, the three C's of American hops. So let's give it a pour. JR, you ready there? I'll give you some. Oh, I can't wait to taste this. Cheers. Okay, comes up with a very light head that has dissipated quickly, very roughly carbonated. Nice, clear, very light, light straw color. Let's get the aroma. I do get some citrus and some tropical aromas. But it's very mild. I get some malt characteristics. This is a I don't know if my glass is fogging up or if this is kind of hazy. It looks a little hazy, actually. So anyway, cheers. Ooh, this is very light. It's very crisp, refreshing. It gives a nice mouthful of flavor. The hops are definitely present. I think this is a 45 IBU and a 5.5% alcohol. And as you know, Founders, I think, has quite a few of these in that stable, right up that wheelhouse, you know, with the all-day IPA, the Centennial pale ale that they have. I think someone else on the show has another Founders beer, right? Another
it's possible.
Lager. Yep, possibly. So, yeah, this is a good crusher. I'm certain that I'm going to be getting a few more of these for the Memorial Day holiday weekend coming up. And this is great for standing around the barbecue grill and watching everybody play cornhole and stuff like that. So very tasty beer and very easily drinkable. JR, do you have a taste?
Oh, yeah. I'm really impressed with the hop flavor in this. I could definitely detect, I think, Centennial maybe?
Yeah, it's in there.
So normally with a lager, you get very subtle hop. This is a lot more flavor than I expected. It's really very impressive.
Yeah, it doesn't have any of the European lager yeast and lager hops flavors to me. It's definitely Americanized as far as the, you know, the style of hops we like to have in our pale ales. But it's been you know, a pilsner that's been loaded with hops that we typically reserve for the pale ales. So great crossbreeding there.
Good point, Pete. Definitely the characteristics of a American beer versus a European pilsner, for sure. More lively hops like Americans usually gravitate to rather than the noble German hops.
Yeah, I've had this beer before, and the only thing that comes to my head when I hear the word pilsner, and it's just because of what, you know, we've been fed our whole lives, is Miller Lite. And I recall being taken aback by how much flavor. I was expecting it to be a flavorless beer, and that is not the case.
Right. I'm hoping that, you know, as we go down the road here into the future, that we see more of the light beers getting this kind of treatment, you know, and trying to flavor them up. And hopefully that'll be a nice trend going forward. But, you know, if you've got friends that are bashful about getting into the craft beer thing, and this might be a great introductory beer to have them try, you know, or if you got neighbors that just like to sit around and drink their, you know, fizzy yellow beer, put a couple of these in their cooler and see what they think.
Yeah,
I just looked it up, and they use Chinook, Cascade, and Centennial in this, and I don't know why I have that super sensitive nose to Centennial, and I love Centennial. I knew that was in there. So yeah, this is a good, flavorful beer, perfect for the summer at 5.5%. So seek it out, drink them up. And yeah, I think, Chris, I think we're going to go to your beer next. So tell us about what you have.
Well, we're staying, you know, with the Founders imprint here. And I am trying something new, at least new to me. It's the first time I've seen it in the cooler where I've been. And it's probably because of the time of year it is. From Founders, their Solid Gold Premium Lager. It is 4.4% ABV and 20 IBUs. So, I mean, Pete, I mean, I believe this fits your profile of the crusher, so to speak. Reading from Founders' website here, it says, our brewery was built on an attitude of no regrets, an attitude of taking risks to bring the best beer possible to our fellow renegades and rebels. Never brewing to style, but always brewing what we want to drink. Our take on a classic, Solid Gold, is a drinkable premium lager brewed with the highest quality ingredients. Challenging what a lager can be, that's something we won't regret. And I can already tell you, I've gone through one of these already. So let's just, it pours. I mean, it is it's called Solid Gold for a reason. It's a nice gold color. It's not your usual, you think lager, you think pale. This is, it's a little yellower than you're used to, I guess, with this type of style. I can see right through. It's very bubbly. The head was nice, white, and bubbly. The lacing's pretty light. It's just kind of, you know, falling off the glass here when you move it around. Smelling it, though, I mean, you have to get and maybe it has something to do with how low it is in IBUs. You got to get your nose almost wet to pick up anything off of this, as far as with the aroma, you know, and just some faint hops. But what I've noticed with this beer that doesn't seem to be uniform with what I'm used to with the style is there isn't that bitter beer smell that you're used to with this style. Like, you know, like I liken it to like the inside of cups at a bowling alley. You guys all know what I'm talking about. There isn't that kind of smell with this style. And then when you drink it, I mean, I can see myself flying through the six pack. It's nice and nice and crisp. It goes down nice and easy. And again, kind of what you're used to with this style. There isn't that bitter lager aftertaste that you're used to with your Budweisers and your High Life and things of that nature. I mean, from Founders, I mean, if this is their attempt at it, it's well done. It's meant for mass consumption. It's definitely got the what I like to think is one of the characteristics of Founders. It's just a quality made beer. It's just, you can tell it's made with good water, good ingredients, and yeah, this. The next four in this six pack don't stand a chance. So if you see Founder Solid Gold, I mean, this would be another thing that I would classify with PC Pills. If you got someone who's trying to get into craft beer, give them a can of this. I mean, it's I mean, this in the nicest way possible. They may not know the difference.
Yeah, I've been buying the 15 packs. I've probably got this year. I've probably bought at least 3 15 packs, and I fill in my beer fridge in between all the other stuff.
Drink them in an hour.
Yeah. Oh, they're fantastic, and I mean the price. I think on the best price I got on a 15 pack of this was $11.99. So you're paying less than a buck a can, and you know, it's a great value, and it tastes good. You know what I mean? It's not just a watery water, carbonated water. So it's got a lot of flavor. And I've actually shared it with a few folks that, you know, they're regular fizzy yellow drinkers, and they liked it. So, you know, it's like it's an eye opener, and it's nice. I think it's great to see that there's other stuff out there to try, and it comes at a good price point.
Yeah, you can take. I think it comes in 15 packs, right? So yeah, you can take this to a party where there's, you know, Bud Light and Miller Light drinkers. And, you know, they'll actually be able to enjoy this. And then you can say, oh, see, you really do like craft beer. I know we always use it as a gateway beer, but this is definitely a gateway beer, but it can be enjoyed by anyone, you know, craft beer lover or a mainstream drinker. So it's a win-win. More and more breweries are doing this. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, lagers are making a comeback. And it's not a bad thing. Even the beer that I review, I discovered on my golf trip to Kentucky last week, and I couldn't get enough of them. So great stuff from Founders, two different crushables. So either of them are worthy of your hard-earned craft beer dollar. So, Greg, I think you're next on the docket.
It's my turn already? All right. I'm thirsty.
Amen.
Let's do it. Man. So I went over to Merchant's Fine Wine today and talked to Chris Cook over there. And asked his opinion on which I should bring to the show today. And without hesitation, he recommended Black Rocks out of Marquette, Michigan, their classic Pilsner. Comes in a 12-ounce can here, 5.5% ABV. I believe the IBUs are 30, according to the website. And this is available all year round. And just reading off the website here, it says, the finest German malt, American hops, and Lake Superior water collide to create our take on the world's most popular style. As crisp and refreshing as the Great Lakes, this beer is a nod to European tradition with a distinct American disobedience. Prost, eh? So, can, like I said, 12-ounce, black and silver wrap. Well, no, it's printed on can here with their classic Black Rocks logo and pretty cool design here, so let's take a crack at it here. If I can pop it here, first pop. This is my first time trying this. Oh, just absolutely golden color here. Lots of little bubbles. Nice soapy bubbles here. About a finger ahead here as I poured it out. Can see right through it, no problem whatsoever. Let's take a nice smell of it here. Clean, crisp, refreshing taste to it. Maybe a little bready malts to it. Maybe a little take on like a maybe an orange or some kind of citrus on there. Nothing too overpowering, which is cool. So we'll take a sip out of it. Yeah. Oh, this is... Oh, ooh. Nice little bitterness at the very back end there, but much the same as the smell. It's very clean and crisp. More of the bready malts. A little bit of citrus there, and like I said, at the very back end there's a little bitterness, and boy, this is absolutely crushable. These guys out of the Upper Peninsula here in Marquette, Michigan, they're killing this. This is fantastic, especially on like an 80-degree day like we had today. First one, I believe, for the season. This is fantastic for, you know, just after mowing the yard or, like Pete said, standing in front of a barbecue and enjoying the afternoon or whatever. So this is a great offering from Black Rocks. Really enjoying this one. So thanks a lot to Chris Cook for recommending this. This is a great, great take. I really appreciate it. I'm sure you guys have had this as well.
I haven't had it, but I've never had a bad beer from Black Rocks. Those guys do some amazing things. And you can go on YouTube and find a video of these guys when they were like really tiny, running a nano brewery. And it's great to see how far they've come. I haven't been to Black Rocks. I can't wait to go. I know Uncle Pete's been there. I'll turn it over to him. Dugout's been there. I'm probably the only one here that hasn't been there, but you guys can probably expand on it.
Yeah, I haven't either. It's on my bucket list.
It definitely caught my eye when I was shopping for beers. I went through the whole Black Rocks shelf. I saw the Pilsner there. So I don't recall having it when I was at the brewery, but one thing I do credit them for is they do make a great variety of styles. And like JR said, I'm with him. I haven't had one from them that's been a bad beer ever. So really like what they're doing up there.
Yeah, I feel the same way about them. Always a good beer, and what a great time, too. It's in an old house that's been converted into a brewery and a pub. And it's really a nice experience. People in there are fun and friendly. Almost any night of the week, there's some great live music going on there. A lot of acoustic type stuff, but really, really good. I mean, just
nice,
class act. Their parking lot fence is done with all kinds of vintage skis, so it's got a really cool look to it. They don't serve food, but they will have food trucks come and at busy times. So, and then be forewarned if you're staying like in downtown Marquette and you decide to just walk over because it's not far, it's up a really, really steep hill. So if you're going to walk, be ready for that. It's easy to go back down, but it's a little bit of a trick getting up that steep hill, man.
It is on a hill. Yeah, I do recall the hill.
Wow.
But yeah, those guys are great over there. And you know, much love for that brewery. I haven't had that particular one, but and so many different beers from those guys. Always love giving them a shout out.
If I lived uphill from them, I'd probably never come home. Yeah, I recommend go to Black Rocks or buy their beers and try them out, especially this Pils.
Cheers to that.
All right. Well, I think we're going to head to another Michigan brewery on the Lower Peninsula, Dugout. You probably have the most interesting beer of the evening, so why don't you tell us what you have?
Interesting and flavor packed. I have a beer from Wolverine State Brewing Company, and this is a 2017 Massacre Imperial Dark Lager, and it is a lager aged in bourbon barrels. And, you know, when I went online and looking at, like, reviews that say 10.5%, and I know I've had a few different years. I have another year. I think I got maybe a 2015 down in the cellar in the basement. This particular one's 14.5%. So, kick like a mule. Kick you like a Wolverine would.
Sleep well at night, Doug. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. So, it pours a... very kind of amber, really dark amber. You can see through it, so it's not like typical of a lot of sludgy bourbon barrel aged stouts or porters, or you just can't see anything. You just can, when you hold it up to the light, you get a, just a nice little red hue through it. The clarity is outstanding. Even though it's dark, you can tell it's just crystal clear, no floaties, anything like that. Got a very small head to it, with light lacing, little tiny bubbles on the lacing. And it's I poured this some time ago, so it's definitely retaining the carbonation. You're just not going to get a whole lot of foam off this beer, having it been in a bourbon barrel. Now, the nose, you get some kind of caramel and fruits. Definitely get that bourbon barrel, that booziness. It just kind of kicks you in the face a little bit when you smell this. You definitely know that you're drinking a bourbon barrel aged beer. So we'll sip on this. You know, the taste is killer. And, you know, for something this high ABV, you're not getting that kind of ethanol burn that you should be getting off of this, which is surprising. I mean, 14 and a half, good God. There's a lot of vanilla and caramel. I would say there's still some dark fruit in here, but not like you would think of some of the bourbon barrel aged stouts. That sort of goes away, and it just kind of takes in more of the character of the barrel with the wood and the bourbon. I mean, the mouthfeel is very medium. It's not syrupy or anything like that. It's as smooth as can be.
And you didn't get any hops, any hop influence there, Doug?
No, not really.
Uh-uh. Overtaken by the barrel?
Yeah, this beer is designed with one flavor in mind, and that's, you know, that's bourbon. And you want to say stout, but it's a lager. So, but very similar to a bourbon barrel-aged stout. You know, actually quite similar to something like Bourbon County, where it's that big.
Wow. For a lager, I mean, the lager is just the base.
It's mind-numbing. I mean, it how they get to this stage, and I know that some of the years, and you know, if I get a chance, one of the other reviews, I'll run downstairs and get the other year that I have and see what that one's listed at. But I can remember when I bought these, they weren't particularly expensive. I mean, maybe like $15 for a 4-pack, or maybe even less.
That sounds about right.
And what a great value for such an incredible beer. I don't know if that other year, if this 17 was the year to end all years. I mean, it very well could be, because I think it's that good.
I remember, you know, when they hit the shelves, they get bought up pretty quick.
Yeah. Some places they just sort of lag behind, and some places you can just find them buried on a back shelf from 3 years ago. I mean, if you see those, buy those. This is one of the cases where old isn't bad. Old beer isn't bad. This beer will hang around for a long time. It's got that kind of mojo going for it. But yeah, overall, man, if you see this, I would get it. This is a you know, it's warming up outside and everything. But this would be more of a fireside kind of middle of the winter sort of beer.
Although nightcap. I don't
like drinking these in the summer.
Bit of a nightcap.
And have any of you guys been to Wolverine State to have a few pints?
I have not.
I haven't been there yet, but they spoke at our industry night at Schoolcraft College, and they are, in fact, Michigan's first and only all-lager microbrewery. That's all they make is lagers.
All they make is lagers. Uh-huh. It's a nice little pub. It's friendly. I remember there being a few snacks, but that would be about it on the food. From what I remember, they had a lot of stuff on draft, and if they've got it in the bottles, they'll sell it to you.
What I really like, though, about you having this beer is to show other people that lagers don't only have to be fizzy, yellow, tasteless beers. I mean, you got a brewery that's all they make is lagers. They have a tremendous variety of flavors, down to one that almost reminds you of an Imperial Stout or something, you know, the one that you're having. So a dark lager can be very flavorful and very different. So I like the way these guys push the envelope and make lagers whatever they want it to be.
I know I've stopped at their booth many times at the beer festivals. I mean, they're always there in the Michigan beer festivals.
Yeah, it's just a nice, quiet, quaint little pub. It's off of just behind some buildings, so it might be a little tricky to find. But it's off Stadium Drive on West Stadium Drive in Ann Arbor. So it's not like that's not the epicenter of college activity over there. Although there's a little bit, but not really. There's some really good food places right around there, as in anywhere in Ann Arbor. But it's sort of a forgotten son of Ann Arbor when you think of the breweries. A lot of other ones get mentioned before this one. And these guys do it right. And you can go in there and you can get Rauch beer. You can get all types of German lagers. And they always have somewhere between, I don't know, 12 to 15 beers on draft, all different. So it's definitely worth stopping in. It's not, there's nothing flashy about it at all. But,
you know,
really good beers.
Lagers aren't easy to make. I mean, compared to, you know, ales, the pale ales and stuff and the stouts we're used to doing, a lager takes quite a bit more effort, in my opinion, as a home brewer to, you know, cold ferment it and cold condition it and control all of the variables it takes to keep it at the right temperatures for the right amounts of time. And, you know, they typically come out, you know, crystal clear and very crisp in their flavors. But the Massacre that you're tasting with the barrel influence, you know, definitely has been like a, it's been like the canvas, right? The lager was the canvas, and then they painted all this other stuff on it. So it's really interesting. You're right. It's probably the most interesting beer tonight.
Yeah, and I was hoping somebody tonight would have an IPL, which that particular style, newer style, is gaining a lot of popularity. And by IPL, I mean India Pale Lager, which would be the you know, the counterpoint to an IPA or an India Pale Ale. And quite a few good ones of those coming out. You know, quite a few breweries are doing them. I didn't particularly see many on the shelves today when I was out looking, but I knew I had this one, so I didn't look too hard.
Yeah, I just wanted to expand on what Pete said about how difficult they are to make. I remember the brewers saying at our industry night how challenging it is because they have so many tanks that have to be lagering beer for extended, you know, what, 6 to 8 weeks, I think. Yeah. So it's a challenge for them because they always have to wait so long for their beer to lager and mature before they can take them out of the tanks. So, yeah, they got their hands full. It's definitely a lot more work and a lot more time to brew a good lager, but that's what they do, and they do it well.
I attempted it, and I dumped it. On my first attempt, I ended up dumping it. Just, I missed the right temperature range and didn't get the diacetyl rest, and the thing came out tasting like butterscotch cookies. It was just a real butter bomb.
Yeah, so lagers don't get the respect a lot of other styles make, but they really should because they're very, very difficult, challenging to brew a good one. And,
they're the Rodney Dangerfield of beers.
So along that
line. Yeah, pretty much.
No respect.
I got a little tidbit here for the hipster tipster, a little passage from an article on VinePair that I'd like to share about lagers. So I'll go ahead and read that right now. We'll just do a brief bit of industry news and then head into some Mexican-style lagers as we approach the end of our show and head towards Mexico City. But this particular article, there's a quote from Adam Beauchamp. He's the brewmaster and co-founder of Creature Comforts Brewing Company. I believe they're down in Georgia. So the quote is, "I believe balanced craft lagers will continue to grow in popularity with experienced craft beer drinkers. There's an element of fatigue that sets in with consumers that are bombarded with countless new options, many of which are less drinkable because of high bitterness or ABV levels. Fresh Pilsners or American lagers offer a reliably delicious standby to craft drinkers who may occasionally want to simplify a bit. Some of the most trend-setting craft breweries have been championing these styles lately, which should continue to drive growth." And this is actually an article about what is trending to be in the year 2018, the up-and-coming beer styles that expected to grow. And there's There's several other here. There's one that talks about the IPL, sour IPAs, but lagers and pilsners definitely are, you know, coming back in vogue, whereas they used to be the redheaded stepchild of the craft beer world.
I'll tell you what I like hearing what you're saying there, JR, about that first story is, you know, the big producers, right, have been trying to take a bite into the craft arena and coming out with pale ales and IPAs and other styles, right, that generally the craft brewers have been doing. And so here the craft brewers now are saying, well, you know, we can do lagers and pilsners too. And so, you know, if they're losing any share at all to the big brewers, to the other, you know, pale ale styles and such, here they're going to probably take some percentage of the market back on the lagers and pilsners. So I like that. That's a great strategy.
No question. Those types of drinkers can now say, I don't need that 15-pack of Bud Light. I can go and get me a 15-pack of Solid Gold for around the same price.
Right on.
And it tastes way better. So, yeah, it's a good punch back at those big bullies.
That's right. Right on.
Better beer.
Stick it to the man, lager.
That's right. Stick well, no, the not man. The man. They're not going to be the man anymore. They didn't play fair, and time's coming.
So just a couple brief things. One article in particular, I'm sure some of our listeners are into beer trading and in some cases buying and selling beer. We have friends that have cellar sales often and, you know, they have too much beer. I should probably have a cellar sale, but for this reason, I won't ever sell beer because it's illegal to sell beer without a license.
Right.
And there's this particular article. This is from PennLive.com, but this happened in Pennsylvania. Three men were accused of selling beer online without a license and busted by the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. I know this happened one other time where I think what happens is we got agents going on. It's a site called MyBeerCollectibles.com where you know, craft beer aficionados can go on and sell beer at secondary value, which is way above what you paid for it. And in this case, it says the investigation began after State Beer Liquor Control Enforcement Office responded to ads on MyBeerCollectibles.com and purchased beer. Search warrants were executed at the suspect's home and large quantities of beer was seized. And then it lists the three gentlemen that were charged with misdemeanor counts of selling beer without a license. And one of them was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. So not only did they get busted, but they probably got their entire cellars seized by the Fed. So you know, a word to the wise, you know, it's one thing to trade beer. I think that's something no one's ever been gotten into legal trouble with. But if you're trying to sell beer, especially at a profit, there's a chance you could get in trouble. So,
well, that one craft beer nut that's one of the feds, he's probably having a hell of a bottle share right now.
Oh, I'll bet, yeah. He probably traded and traded away and got everything.
He's making friends.
He filled his cellar up.
I wouldn't put it past him.
He filled his cellar up with everything you can imagine and then decided to go in for the swoop. And then
probably
pinched a couple bottles on the side, you know, that they, you know, quote unquote, forgot to grab and came back later for. Because he wasn't around.
Right? I would imagine that precinct is probably drinking pretty well these days.
I mean, I don't know how out of control that is. I mean, the secondary market's there. We're all aware of it. It's on Facebook. It's on, you know, it's on a lot of places. But, you know, at the end of the day, is that really worth putting a whole lot of taxpayer dollars into to eradicate? I don't know. Who's it hurting? Is it hurting? It's not hurting the brewers. People are lining up to get this stuff, you know. If they sell it for what they sell it for, God bless them. I won't personally probably won't partake in that kind of thing because it's just, to me, it becomes a collector market and it becomes snobby and snooty. And I just don't think craft beer is all about that. So that's my own personal take. But if I really needed something, I'd trade for it or, you know, to flat out just go and pay $300 for a bottle of mead that
I know I can get down the street. I know I can go down the street and buy that mead and pay $50 or $60, whatever it is, sell it for $300. It's not of interest to me whatsoever.
No, I agree. It's kind of ridiculous to be putting, you know, resources into busting people for this stuff, but it's against the law, and there is a chance you can get in trouble. You know, the easiest decision you can make is just drink it, man.
Yeah,
you get pop it a bottle open. Of beer, drink it.
For sure.
Pop you know, open. I've gone I mean, more somebody, and more.
I got a whole bunch of 1995 Sam Adams triple box that I was told on the secondary market were worth something, and I'm like, well, maybe that. I really don't want to drink those. Because it's basically one in five is not soy sauce.
I think I still have one of those.
Yeah, you probably do.
was that one of the train wrecks you were trying the other night, Dugout?
No, it was not. I haven't had one of those in a long time. I think we had one at JR's house. It was somewhere between soy sauce and drinkable. That was a few years back. That's probably the last one I've cracked.
It actually tasted like something that would come out of a spittoon, if I recall.
Ooh, that's
yeah. Nice.
I think but I'm going to hurl.
I've had other ones that were just pure alcohol and chocolate, and it just went bottle by bottle, and they were all in the same case. They were basically a manufacturer recall because they corked the tops and didn't really sort of gauge the amount of moisture that would go into the corks, and corks would shrink and expand, and some beers would oxygenate, some would just leave it all over the place. So they recalled it all.
Well, more and more, I've been drinking my beers. You know, I'm not into the profiteering.
This a tweet or go into no, just kidding. We're not selling beer on this show.
Yeah, so I'm looking down the Twitter feed, just looking for any more news. Not a whole lot, really. For us local here in the Ann Arbor area, there's a brewery that called Glass House that recently closed, and it's reopened during a transition to become a brewery called Townie's Brewery. So you can look that up on Twitter. Michigan Beer Guy, I have it on there. There's an article about that, so looking forward to another new brewery in our area, see how Townie's Breweries does. There was an article about Schmaltz Brewing sold their brewery to Single Cut, but they're still going to produce beer, but they're going to go back to their roots and, I believe, contract brew a lot of their beers. So that's kind of a minor story, but really not much else that I can see of.
There's a new barrel age.
Yeah, you can talk about that one, and then I'll tell you about the one that they're releasing in August. Well, the one in August is going to be, they announced Curmudgeon's Better Half, which I think hasn't released since 2011 or 2012. Yeah, and that's Curmudgeon Old Ale aged in maple bourbon barrels. Ooh. So that's was a real hit, and I jokingly, a couple days before they announced the release, I said, please bring back Bolt Cutter and Better Half, and lo and behold, a couple days later, they announced they're releasing Better Half. I'm certain that I didn't convince them to do that, it was just a coincidence, but I'm looking forward to that. That'll be out in August. And the other one, I can't remember the name of it, it's a rum barrel beer.
Yep.
Coming out, I believe, in like next week, a couple weeks, and could be a rum barrel aged IPA, I believe. Something runner. I'll have to look that one up, but yeah. So
barrel.
Look
runner.
For it's a barrel rum barrel aged IPA, and I can't. Is that what it's
just
called?
Barrel runner. That's
it. Barrel runner. That's it. So yeah. So
Imperial
rum barrel. So yeah, that could be interesting.
I think it says Mosaic Hopped Ale Aged in Rum Barrels.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that. And then one more quick summer seasonal launch from New Holland. Lost Dune Blueberry Ale is coming out. Let's see if I can...
Where? New Holland?
New Holland.
That sounds good.
And the internet is slow. Here we go.
Just as a side note while you're on the New Holland, I've been sipping their beer barrel bourbon. Because New Holland also makes spirits. and they've been making a bourbon that's been aged in a beer barrel. So,
That's great.
Yeah, man. You know, kind of the gin, other side of the moon.
Their gin is outstanding. I love their gin.
And it's so smooth. I mean, I recommend it if you want to taste a great smooth bourbon. I just bought another bottle because the first one didn't last too long. So, beer barrel bourbon from New Holland. Okay, off my side note.
Well, there's that Zeppelin bourbon they make that's outstanding too. It's about $60 a bottle. So, yeah, they do a good job with spirits too. And I've actually seen some canned pre-made spirit drinks, some cocktails and cans. Look for that in Michigan party stores. This Lost Dune is a awesome summer beer. It's light and refreshing gold ale that appeals to the experienced craft enthusiast. Serves as a great introduction to the scene for new to craft consumers, aka it's a gateway beer. You'll find complimentary flavors and aroma from Michigan blueberries and dank fruity mosaic hops, with coriander spices as a surprisingly delicious way to finish it off. Great way to kick off the summer season. So Lost Dune, blueberry ale, golden ale with Michigan blueberries and other natural flavors. Coming soon.
I know New Holland, I mean, Lost Dune isn't new, but I think the blueberry version is, but I think Lost Dune's been kind of a staple for them for quite some time.
Well, hey, I'm looking forward to trying it.
Yeah, that's good.
All righty then.
What's next? Let's go. Let's drink some beers.
I haven't gone yet, so I'm going to do a beer.
You go.
I have here a beer I discovered on my Kentucky golf trip last weekend. It's from a brewery called West Sixth Brewing out of Lexington, Kentucky. And this is called Cerveza Mexican Style Lager. And I bought this on a whim. I was very happy to see that it has the independent craft seal that we talked about last week with Andy from the Brewers Association. So also, it's got this Kentucky Proud symbol on it. So it's proudly brewed in Kentucky. It's 4.6% alcohol. I bought a six-pack on a whim, just looking for something to put in my bag when we golfed out on the course. And I couldn't believe how much I liked it. And so much, I bought another six-pack. And every time I had these in my bag, all my friends kept asking for one. And I saved one can for this episode. I'm going to share it here with Pete.
So, JR, are you saying that you got kind of lubed up by drinking beers in KY?
Hey-o.
Sorry.
Not too bad with a 4.6, though.
Pete on fire.
So I'm pouring it. I get a nice, refreshing, malty aroma. Nice, healthy head. It's crystal clear.
Absolutely.
Straw yellow color. It looks the part of like a Bud Light or a Miller Light until it's got a little bit better aroma. And then you take a sip of it, and that's what I'm going to do right now. It's clean as a whistle, maybe a subtle amount of grain and corn. I don't know what it is about this, but it like changed my whole way of thinking of lagers, especially on that hot days out on the golf course. It was in the 80s down there. And, you have a nice cold can in the ice cold. It's maybe a little bit warmer. It's been sitting here while we've been doing the episode, but man, I mean, I was crushing these like there was no tomorrow. They were delicious. And it's this nice Mexican style. I think there's probably a little bit of corn in it. I'm going to go to their website. There's really not a whole lot here. It says West 6th Cerveza. In the style of a Mexican lager, West 6th Cerveza is crisp with a pleasant cracker-like malt character with notes of corn and a low amount of hops to create a quenching and sessionable lager. Crack a West 6th Cerveza or add a slice of lime to a freshly poured pint. This brew is satisfying and approachable to all. Malts Pilsner and flaked corn, hops Magnum, yeast lager. Very simple. Doesn't sound like much, but I don't know. It's like life-changing to me. I couldn't believe how much I enjoyed these while I was golfing. So I think it's got like an IBU of like 20. It's not very hoppy at all, but it's just got a great crushable flavor.
You crush these further than your driver?
I hit all a long way. It just doesn't always go straight. So I lost a lot of golf
balls. You donated to somebody else.
Well, you got lubed up in KY and you lost your balls. Okay, you get it.
I didn't hear any banjos while I was there.
Wait till you get home. Well, I'll tell you, it's crystal clear. It's a beautiful looking beer. I mean, it's like flashy. And I get a nice aroma. I mean, it smells like a lager to me. It's not skunky in it by any means, but it just has just a malty aroma. And I get a nice sweetness, and maybe that's an influence from the flake corn or something, but I get a nice sweetness from the flavor. Not hoppy at all by any means. It's pleasant. I like it.
Hey, Matt.
So, yeah. I would buy this in a heartbeat next time I'm in its distribution footprint. They, I know it goes as far as north as Cincinnati, West 6. So anybody gets this and it's, you're in a hot climate, go for it. You will not be disappointed. I think Pete has another Mexican-style lager that we're going to close the show out. And then how ironic that we then go to Mexico City, as we do every episode. So, Pete, tell us about your next one.
Well, Juan, you should be calling me Pedro since we're on the Mexican beers again. See? See, senor?
Bueno.
Bueno. Okay, Juan. So what I have here is an offering from Griffin Claw Brewing called El Ligero. And I believe that means the light or light, meaning light, not bright light, but weight, you know, light. It's very light to pick up. Anyways, it's a Mexican lager with fresh lime. This is a 4.5% ABV with a 10 IBU. So let's see what we get here. This is already got lime in it. JR, you need some more? Hit you? Okay.
Yeah, it's got the lime in it already.
Yeah. So I got to give props to my niece's husband, Miguel. And he's the one that gave me the Tio Pedro moniker, the Uncle Pete moniker, or Tio Pedro in Mexican, Spanish. But anyway, he's doing a fine job for Griffin Claw and getting these summer beers out there. He's pushing them hard, and I think he's doing a great job. So got a couple of these in our hand, and right away, certainly you're going to get fresh squeezed lime on the nose. It's a very, very light straw-colored beer with a slight haze to it, not as clear as the West 6 Brewing Cerveza that we just had. But nonetheless, very strong lime. And certainly, you got lime on the palate. It's very light-bodied. It flows like water. I mean, these are dangerous. You don't even have to add anything to this. If you like punching a lime into a Corona, it's about the same, I would say, to me. But new beer from Griffin Claw, and it's a real crusher. What do you think, JR?
Yeah, no, I really enjoy it. I didn't know how I would feel about the lime, but it doesn't smell like a fake lime. It tastes like, you know, but I think they're very similar. I mean, it's basically like the West 6, only with lime in it. Both of them, I could crush both of these. The lime in some ways adds a little bit to it. Both of them are great. I'd definitely buy this again.
Very reasonable price. I think a 4-pack of pint cans was $7.99. So, you know, it's a crusher for a great price point.
Oh, really? They come in fours?
4-pack.
Oh, okay.
For $7.99.
Oh, okay. They're 16-ounce, though.
Yeah, they're
pint. The West 6 that I had were 12-ounce cans, but you got a 6 for, I think, $9.99 I paid for 6-pack, so 72 ounces. But, yeah, they're both probably very similar recipes. You know, Mexican lager is a pretty simple recipe. But, again, you know, the recipe may be simple, but brewers still have to take great care to make good lager. And these are both fantastic and both crushable. I know probably the reason we haven't done a lager episode in so long is it's kind of an overlooked style for us and probably a lot of craft beer drinkers. Lager just doesn't sound interesting, but if you really take the time to taste these, you know, and they are making a resurgence and they are doing things like Founders did with, you know, putting American hops in to make a lager a little bit more interesting. You know, and then we got this one with a little lime in it, and then we got the pure one that I had. I mean, there's a broad spectrum of lagers out there, so we really should open up our mindset and be more open-minded to not being like, oh, that's just a lager. I don't want that. That's how I used to feel, and I don't feel that way anymore after trying a lot of these. I mean, the other end of the spectrum would be the Beer Dugout had. I mean, what unbelievable complex flavors come with that barrel-aged massacre, a dark lager that's, you know, 10 to 14%. So there you have it. I mean, and, you know, there's a couple in the middle that we didn't cover. I know that Vienna Lager probably would have been a nice thing to have on here. You know, Dugout mentioned IPL, the India Pale Lager, which is similar to an IPA, only brewed with lager yeast. So you know what? It is a reality, lagers and pilsners. And, while we did craft lagers and pilsners, don't forget the OGs, the, you know, Czech pilsners. You know, Pilsner Urquell is still one of the great classic beers that I would always enjoy. You can get a nice fresh one. German Pils. We could probably do a whole episode on, you know, European lagers and pilsners down the road. But
it's been a good rediscovering this style. What do you guys think?
Oh, absolutely. Lots of stuff. It's summertime. Summer finally showed up here in Michigan. So, I mean, definitely a lot of good summertime crushers.
I don't know what happened. Spring was canceled this year.
Yeah.
We went from winter to summer for some reason.
Yeah, I have a chart that shows that, yeah. But, I mean, I'm all for it. I like the headlines that you read earlier on the Hipster Tipster. You know, there's a renewed interest in this style, and I think it's because everybody's gone to the far end of the spectrum with all of the high ABV and the high hop, you know, Imperial beers and all the different heavies. And it's great to come back to these and give them their due and even tinker with them a little bit. And I think there's more tinkering to come with more of the lagers and the pilsners. And in fact, JR, maybe you've heard this, but I've been hearing about champagne-style beers are starting to become a thing where, you know, they're making like extra brut IPAs that are in a champagne style with very, delicate carbonation, but with an emphasis on the hop flavor, but on a very light body beer, and it gives a dry champagne finish. And if you start looking around on the internet and look up champagne beers, I think you'll find it's one of these new waves coming, like the hazy IPAs took us over for the last couple of years here. So everybody seems to be going to the lighter end to see what they can do in that spectrum.
Yeah, that's not your champagne velvet you're talking about either. Champagne Velvet, for those who don't know, is a very old brand, I believe out of Indianapolis. And one of the breweries there just still makes it, got the recipe, got the rights to it, and they just put it out. And, it's not velvety or champagne. So just so you know that going in, but you're a fan of retro beers, that one's out there. Sorry, and that just reminded me of that beer when you were talking.
We weren't talking about the champagne of beers either.
And we weren't talking about that one either. Yeah, Miller High Life.
Well, how about, have you all ever heard of Red Grape Malt Duck?
What?
I used to sell that. Red Grape Malt Duck. It used to come in 7-ounce bottles. And it was like a...
What, they're 5 ounces short?
A sparkling red malt beverage.
Was it in a big mouth?
No, it was just in a little 7-ounce pony bottles, and you could crush those things, but yeah, they weren't really good on the innards.
God.
It was a thing back when I was in college. We used to sell those at the distributor I worked at, and
That's just straight up corn sugar liquor.
Yeah, Red Grape Malt Duck. But it did remind me almost of like a pink rosé champagne.
And if your head didn't hurt after drinking those, there's something wrong.
Well, let's go to Mexico.
All right. Well, any closing comments, everybody? We'll go right to the Mexican lager.
Well, just want to thank everyone who follows us on Twitter at Beard Nuts Podcast, who's been following us on Instagram at Beard Nuts Podcast. And if you ever want to drop us a line, you can email the show, beernutspodcast@christophermedia.net.
Yeah, we're looking for ideas for beers to taste on our 100th episode. So, hey, reach out to us. We might put the beer to get you some guests on the show.
Yeah.
And you too.
Yeah. All right, well, That being said, two more episodes. So we're closing in, going into a holiday weekend. Everybody safe. Happy holidays. And as they say in old Mexico City,
AMF. If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.